ויאספו ויגידו לכם איסא שיקרו אסכם ביחס היום. ביקש יעקב לגלוס הסקטס. Wanted to tell the Shvatim when Mashiach was going to come, according to many Mefarshim, that Kates was the final Kates, Kates Hayomim Mashiach. And for some reason, Nistam Imen was covered up from him, and he couldn't tell them the Kates. So instead, he started giving them brachas. Very strange. If I would have come here tonight and lost this piece of paper with my notes on it, and gotten complete amnesia, and had no idea what I wanted to say to you, I forgot. I wouldn't get up here and start saying something else. I'd say, look, I forgot what I wanted to say, give me some time, maybe I'll prepare something else, write me another time. But I wouldn't start saying something else. Yaakov Avinu prepared to tell his children the cage. All of a sudden he starts saying brachas because he forgot the cage. Secondly, Torah says he gave him brachas, right? Everybody got a bracha. What was Reuven's bracha? Reuven, you could have been the melech, the kohen, the bechor. You lost it all. For a bracha like that, I wouldn't come. Shimon and Levi, or Rapam Kios. One quarter of the Shvatim already don't have any brachas. And the rest of them, you're like a snake, you're like a donkey. Those are brachas. There's a medrash. I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Eventually, and it's Hashem will answer them. But there's one thing I didn't ask. When am I supposed to finish? All night. Don't worry about it. The medrash says that when Yaakov Avinu called in his children, he looked at their names. And he saw that in the names of all the Shvatim, two letters don't appear. Ches and Tes. Chet. He said, wow, there's no Chet in the names of my children. I can tell them when Mashiach's going to come. Then he looked again at the names and he saw there's two other letters that don't appear in any of the names of the Shvatim. Kuf and Tzadik. Kates. He said, there's no Chet, but there's no Kates. I understand there's no Chet in the names of the Shvatim. But there's no Kate. Mashiach's not going to come. It's not hinted to in the names of the Shvatim. Why not? Another medrash. The medrash says, what can Yaakov Avinu be compared to? La'ohavo shel melech shenifter min ha'olam. A king's friend, his confidant, is dying. He calls his children in and he wants to tell them mastorin shel melech, the secrets, the mysteries that the melech confided in him. He's just ready to reveal the mysteries of the king, and he sees the king is standing there by his bed together with his children. So seemingly he's embarrassed to tell the secrets of the king in front of the king. So he quickly says something else. He's Zoharu b'kvodo shemelech. He's very careful of the honor of the king. So too, Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the secrets of the Ribono shel Olam when Mashiach's going to come. But he sees that the Shechinah is standing there by his bed too. So he quickly does something else and gives them brachas. Now Chazal could have made the marshal any way they wanted to fit the nimshal. Why didn't they? What the marshal should have been is the following. The Ohavo Shel Melech wants to reveal the secrets of the king. The nimshal is that Yaakov wants to tell them when Mashiach's going to come. He sees that the king is standing there together with his children. Yaakov sees the Shechin is there by his bed. So instead of revealing the secrets, he gives them brachas. That's what the marshal should have been, just like the nimshal. Where is this aspect of Yizaru B'Kvodo Shel Melech, be careful the honor of the king? How does that fit in? Yaakov didn't tell his children, be careful the honor of the king, gave him brachas. Every sefer in the Chumash has two names. It has the name that we're all familiar with, Bereishis Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim, that's taken from the first few words of the sefer. And then it has a thematic name that Chazal gave those the name to that sefer. Bereishis is called Sefer HaYitzira, Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, Vayikra is Toras Kohanim, Bamidbar is Chumash HaPikudim, and Dvarim is Mishneh Torah. Now if you never heard those names before, you did, but you didn't know it. Because that's what it says on the English Chumashim. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the Greek for what I just told you. They named the Svarim according to the way Chazal named them thematically. Sefer HaYetzirah is Genesis, Yetzirah. Shmos is Sefer HaGeula, is Exodus, the Geula, Exodus. Leviticus means the laws of the Levim, Torah Kohanim. And you ever wonder why Bamidbar is called Numbers? Somebody didn't know that Bamidbar means desert, not Numbers. Why they call it Numbers? Because it's the Chumash HaPikudim. There was a census in the beginning when they went into the Midbar, and a census when they came out. It's called Chumash HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers. That's why it's called Numbers. And Devarim, Mishneh Torah, is Deuteronomy. Anami is the law, and Deuteronomy is the repeat, the review of the law. That's Mishneh Torah. All of the names fit very nicely one with the other. Bereshis and Sefer HaYetzirah fit like a glove together. Vayikra, the Rabban Shem called to Moshe Mi'ol Moed to tell him what? The laws of the Kohanim. So Torah's Kohanim and Vayikra go very nicely together. Bamidbar and Chumash HaPikudim go very nicely together. What happened in the Midbar? They had a census when they came in, a census when they went out, and that was Bamidbar, it was Chumash HaPikudim. And Devarim, Eila HaDvarim, Asher Diber Moshe, what did he speak? Mishneh Torah. The only one that doesn't really fit the two names together is Sefer Shmos. What in the world do Shmos names have to do with Sefer HaGeula? They don't seem to have any connection. Whereas the other four have a very strong connection between the two names. Make the question even stronger. Chazal say, both in last week's Sedra and in next week's Sedra, the Eilish Mos B'nai Yisrael, to tell us how Chaviv Klal Yisrael are, like the stars. Just like Mona Nispor LaKochavim LaKulam Shemos Yikra, the Rabban Shem calls names to every star, so too every Jew has a name, and the Rabban Shem counts them when they're alive and after their death, and calls them each by name, just like the stars. Big deal. His names to the stars, so what? I was just in America a few weeks ago, right before the Christian holidays, and I heard on the radio what I've heard for the last 28 years. Every time I'm there this time of year, same advertisement. They say that, you know, some people have a problem with their gift giving during this season in America. Because in America, at least there were, maybe there still aren't, but there used to be people who have everything. So what do you give somebody who has everything? So they said about 28 years ago, if you sent $25 to the following address, and this year it was $75. If you send $75 to the following address, we will name a star for the person you want to give the gift. We will register it in the star registry, and we will send him a certificate with the coordinates of the star that is named for him. Let me tell you a little secret. If it wouldn't be cloudy out tonight, you can take your notebook and designate one page to be star registry. Write it on the top of the page. Walk outside and say, okay, that star's for my mother, my father, my brothers, right, anybody you want, name the stars, write it down in your star registry, and you can print up a certificate that says in your star registry, this star is registered in the name of so-and-so, whatever, for free. You don't have to pay. You can name every star in the sky for anybody you want, for free. And it will be just as valid as their star registry and their certificate. But there you pay $75. That's what it means. Every star has a name. God gives a name to every deal. So what does that have to do with anything? Even more than that, Chazal say the Eila Shmos B'nei Yisrael, Bishchus the Eila Shmos B'nei Yisrael, Niskaimim the Eila Toldo Shemayim Va'aretz. The world exists for the names of Klal Yisrael. I understand the world exists for Klal Yisrael, just for Torah. The names of Klal Yisrael, what does that mean? The idea is the name of something. Lashon HaKodesh represents its essence, its qualities, its talents, its abilities, its capabilities. When Adam HaRishon gave names to the whole Bria, it wasn't just arbitrary names. Okay, we'll call this a Caleb, this is a Chasul. Just I take up the name. The name describes in a million different ways, ways beyond our comprehension, the tchunos of that animal, the surface, the tip of the iceberg. Chazal say a Caleb is called a Caleb, ke'ein lo ela leiv echad, to his master. One is a very loyal man's best friend, a dog. My wife doesn't like when I say that. She's my best friend, not a dog. But in any case, but it's true. Kelev has leiv echad lebailov. So it's Kelev. The word leiv is included. But it's everything. The gematria, the tsuras haosios, the shoroshim lemala, represent the essence of that thing. A person's name also represents his abilities, capabilities, talents, personality. That's what's in a name. That's what a name is. In fact, the name, the word shame, is the inner osios of neshama. The nun and the hay are the outer osios, and the shame is the inner essence of a person's neshama. That's your name. Torah says, Re'ei korosi b'shem b'tzalul ben uri ben chur. Re'ei, the Svarno says, whenever it says Re'ei, and it doesn't mean to look with your physical eyes, it means to think, contemplate. Re'ei, lizbomen, think. How much can you think about the fact that the Rav Anshin called the name of Bezalel for about 2 seconds? What's there to really think deeply in the fact that the Rav Anshin called the name of Bezalel? I think that there's two very deep lessons to be learned from the fact that the Rav Anshin called the name of Bezalel. Firstly, Bezalel was a very talented young man. He was an architect, a builder, a jeweler, a big Talmud Chacham, a Mekubal. He knew how to be Metzarif, Osio, Shenivru, Bem Shemayim, Ba'aretz. Bezalel had tremendous talents, tremendous abilities and capabilities. Where did he get them from? He went to school. He took a correspondence course. Where did he get these talents? He was an Eved. His entire life in Mitzrayim, he was born into Avdus. Where did he get these tremendous talents? Obviously, they were a gift from the Rav Anshin. The Rav Anshin endowed Bezalel with all of these talents. Re'ei, think deeply. Just like Bezalel, you may not have as much talent as Bezalel has. But every Jew, every human being, is endowed with talents, abilities, capabilities, just like the Rav Anshin gave to Bezalel. Why did the Rav Anshin give those talents, abilities, and capabilities to Bezalel? So he could build townhouses, he could build shopping centers, maybe, I don't know if Bezalel did the rest of his life. But it's obvious that since somebody had to build a Mishkan, the Rav Anshin invested in Bezalel the talent, so he would be the one to build the Mishkan. That's what Re'ei, think. Realize that every person has talents, maybe not to the degree of Bezalel, that the Rav Anshin endows them with. And the reason the Rav Anshin gives them is to be used for Avodas Hashem. He could use them for other things, but that's the icing on the cake. The cake is to use it for Avodas Hashem, just like Bezalel was given it to build the Mishkan. Something to think about. But that's what a name is. The Rav Anshin gives names to every star. Every star has a different composition, made up of different gases, and it has a different purpose in the Bria. We may not know how it works out, but every star is necessary. According to the plan the Rav Anshin had, every star with its mass and with its power of gravity and how it affects whatever, the universe would not be complete without that star. The Rav Anshin gives names. He gives qualities and characteristics to every star, and he counts everyone. Everyone's important. If it's missing, then something's missing in the whole Bria. So too, each Yid has qualities, characteristics, abilities, capabilities, talents, and everybody's needed. Counts every single one over and over again. That's the shemos. That's what a name represents. In that respect, Chazal say that everybody has four names. The name HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, the name that your parents give you, the name your friends give you, and the Iker name is the one you make for yourself. According to this idea, what does it mean? Everybody has many, many talents, abilities, capabilities, qualities. Some of them are given to you directly by the Rabban Shalom when your neshama was created. He created it to fill a certain purpose in this world, and he equipped it with the qualities that's necessary to fulfill its mission. So that's the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Some things don't come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they come through heredity. Your parents were musically inclined. You'll probably have some kind of musical talent too. That's the name your parents give you. Some things you learn from your friends, from your environment. That's the name that your friends give you. All of that is potential. Potential is a zero. You have a lot of potential, you have a lot of zeros. If you put something in front of those zeros, it's a very big number. If you put nothing in front of it, it's still a bunch of zeros. So the ikar is not the potential you have from what the Rabban Shalom gave you and what your friends gave you and what your parents gave you. The ikar is the name you make for yourself. How do you realize those talents, abilities, and capabilities? And not everybody brings out that potential. The Zohar says that by the Akedah, when the Rabban Shalom stopped Avram Avinu from shechting Yitzchak, it says, Avram, Avram. The Zohar says, Avram Lamala, Avram Lamala. The Rabban Shalom had a model of Avram. What potential he had up there, and at the Akedah, Avram reached and realized his full potential. And the same Avram that the Rabban Shalom saw up there was the same Avram down here. That's a rare thing. Most people don't utilize their talents, abilities, and capabilities to their fullest, and don't bring out their potential. The Gemara says that right before a person dies, his neshama gives a scream that's heard me sofa olam v'ad sofa, from one end of the world to the other. The Chaim Volozhiner says, what is the neshama screaming about? He says, right before a person dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him two pictures, a split screen. On one side of the screen, he shows him what he could have been had he utilized and realized all his potential. And on the other side of the screen, he shows him what he actually was. And when the neshama sees the difference between what it could have been and what it was, it gives a scream that goes me so far over the absolute. I want to add something to the whole. The lashon is a little difficult. It should have said me rosha olam v'ad sofa, from the beginning of the world to the end. What's me sofa olam v'ad sofa? What's a lashon of Chazal? Me sofa olam v'ad sofa. To explain it, there's a Gemara in Megillah. Nachlokas Rav and Shmuel. When the Megillah says amolech me holdu v'ad kush, what does it mean? One of them said that Holdu was at one end of the world and Kush at the other end of the world. And Achashverosh ruled from Holdu to Kush, kol ha'olam kulo. The other one said, no, Holdu and Kush are right next to each other. And Megillah is telling me, just like Achashverosh ruled over Holdu and Kush that were right under his rule, right under his thumb, he ruled over the whole world with the same strength. The Vilna Gaon asked the following question. How could you have a machlokas where Holdu and Kush is, a machlokas and Metzias? How can you sit in the base medrash and decide, is Los Angeles and New York right next to each other or the opposite ends of the country? Go out and take a car and get in it and see if you get to Los Angeles right away or it takes a while. Take out a map at least. Don't sit in the base medrash and argue where Los Angeles and New York are. The Metzias. And if you're already arguing, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, how can they both be right? Either Ahodu and Kush are right next to each other or they're opposite ends of the world. You can't both be right. Says the Vilna Gaon, no problem. One question answers the other. Since the world is a globe, any two points on a globe are right next to each other and at opposite ends of the world. This building and the building across are right next to each other if you go this way. But if you go that way, you're not going to get to that building until you go around the whole world. So they're opposite ends of the world. It just depends on perspective. So they're not arguing over Metzius. They're both true. Any two points on a globe are right next to each other and opposite ends of the world. The question is, what's the perspective? What does the Megillah want to tell me? Wants to tell me the kamus of Achashverosh's rule, the quantity, or the echus, the quality? That's all. If based on that, any point in space is a point. It's a little nothing. But if you divide it in half and you make the top of the point the beginning and the bottom of the point, the end, it includes the entire universe. You have to go around the entire universe to get from the beginning of the point to the end of the point. And every little point contains a universe. Talents, abilities, capabilities, potential is a point. If you look at it as a starting point and you develop it to its end, every point has a world in it. If you look at it just as a point, a beginning and an end in itself, then it's nothing. Then it's just a little point. That's what the Neshama screams. It screams when it sees what it could have been and what it was. Misofa olam v'atsofo, had it looked at its potential as a beginning and an end, every potential would have been a world. But it looked at it as an end to an end. Just a little point, and never developed it. The Mela, it never, the Neshama never developed what it could have been. It ended up with this terrible gulf between what it could have been and what it was. That's what the Neshama gives a scream. How important is it for a person to utilize his name, his talents, abilities, capabilities that are invested in him by his parents, his friends, by the Rabbonu Shel Olam, and by what he does in this world? How important is it to realize your potential, to use your talents, abilities, and capabilities in service of the Rabbonu Shel Olam? The Chiddush Arim points out that at Ne'ilah Yom Kippur, there's no time for the long vidui of Al-Chei Chatonu Lefanecha. So we skip it. And in its place, Chazal instituted three paragraphs that start with Atanose Yad Laposhe. And in those three paragraphs, there's only one vidui, one chait that we're misvada. Leman nechdal me'oshik yodeinu. We should stop stealing. Says the Chiddush Arim, that's the one chait that every man, woman, and child at Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur has to be misvada every Yom Kippur that we're a bunch of ganovim. That's Klal Yisrael. Rabbanu Shel Olam, we're all going to stop stealing. We're all ganovim. Why is that the one chait? So before I tell you what he says, I'll tell you a mashal. And then you'll understand better what he's talking about. In secular high schools, the custom is that firms, sports teams, send scouts to find talented young men or women that could join their sports team or their firm if they go through college and take up the occupation that firm represents. Example. An engineering firm sends scouts to the senior class looking for a young man that is talented in math and art. He's artistically inclined and he's great in math. Put the two together, you got a great engineer. They find one young man who has both of these talents to the extreme. They go over to him and they say, look, we need young, talented engineers in our firm. We're willing to invest in you and pay for your college education. We will give you spending money and we will pay for your room and board, everything. Just one condition. You take engineering, and when you become an engineer, you come to work for our firm for a minimum of 5 years. So we're guaranteed nice, young, new engineers in our firm. What could be better? Completely payrolled education and a guaranteed job. She signs on the dotted line. Going to come to work for the firm. Goes to college, becomes an engineer, comes to work for the firm. But instead of doing anything productive, he plays computer games all day. From the time he comes till the time he leaves, day in and day out. That's all he does for that firm. What aveira is that person over? Gnev, zeil. He's a ganav. They invested money in him with the hope of seeing a return on their investment. He's not giving them a return. He stole the money. Says the Chiddush Arim, the Rabbanu Shel Olam invested in us a lot more than money. He gave us a neshama, a body, talents, abilities, capabilities, and all he wants is to see a return on his investment, that you should use what he gave you, b'avodas Hashem. We come Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur and look back over the past year, and we see that not only aren't we giving the Rabbanu Shel Olam a return on his investment, sometimes we're working for the competition. So we are a bunch of ganavim. So we tell the Rabbanu Shel Olam, this year we're going to stop stealing. This year we're going to start using the talents, abilities, capabilities that you gave us for what you gave it for, and will give you a return on your investment. That is why there's another medrash. The medrash says that the Geula is hinted to in the names of the Shvatim. The world exists because of the names of Bnei Yisrael, meaning the talents, abilities, capabilities, the potential that we have. That's why the world was created, that we should bring out that potential. And the Geula is hinted in those names. Because what is Geula? Geula means bringing out the full potential this world has. Bringing it out and actualizing it. Redeeming it. That's what redemption means. Taking something that has tremendous potential, but it's suppressed, and bringing it out. So when will the Geula come? When everybody brings themselves to perfection. There's a beautiful story. It's not a chazal. Don't look for it anywhere. You won't find it on the Bar Ilan program. Guaranteed. It's a story. I heard it at a graduation once. Not a chazal at all. It's a nice story. There was a man reading a magazine, and his little 5-year-old son was bothering him incessantly. Every 2 minutes, something else. And the guy couldn't make any headway into the magazine. So he saw that one of the pages of the magazine was a map of the world. So he got a great idea. Tears out the page, tears it into 20 little pieces, calls over his son, he says, here's a puzzle. It's a map of the world. I want you to go and put the puzzle together, and I don't want you to come back to me until you're finished. He figured the kid has no idea what the map of the world looks like. The only way he can put the puzzle together is by matching the contours of the tears. It's going to take him hours to do. So he has now a few hours of peace and quiet. Kid goes, 15 minutes later, he comes back, he says, I finished. He says, impossible. There's no way that you could have put that picture back together again unless you knew what the picture looked like. And you don't know what the world looks like. So it's impossible. He said, come and look. And sure enough, on the glass top of a coffee table, the map of the world is reconstructed 100% perfect. Father says, wow, you're a genius. I didn't know. You're 5 years old. You must have known what the world looks like. And that's how you were able to put the picture together so quickly. Kid said, no. It was real easy. You see, on the other side of the page was a picture of a person. I just put the person together and the whole world just fell into place. You want to know how to bring the Geula? Geula is letting the world reach its perfection. If everybody will bring out their potential, and they'll reach perfection, the world will reach perfection. You put the person together and the world will fall into place. And that's what it means that the Geula is hinted to in the names of the Shvatim. Then you can understand already why Sefer HaGeula is Sefer Shmos. It fits like a glove, just like Bereishis and Sefer HaYetzirah and Bamidbar and Chumash HaPikudim. Shmos is Geula. Sefer HaGeula, because you know where the Geula is? In the talents, abilities, and capabilities of every Jew. And if we would only bring those talents, abilities, and capabilities out, we'd bring the world to perfection. That's the Geula. Now, we'll explain what we started with. There's two ways that Mashiach can come. One's called Be'ita, and the other is Achishen, based on a pasuk in Nach. Be'ita Achishen. There is a time that the Ribbono Shel Olam ordained when he created the world that the world's going to have to reach its perfection. The Geula is going to have to come by that time, by hook or by crook. We don't deserve it. The Kodesh Baruch will make events that we have to deserve it. Whatever it is, it's going to come, not delay past that time. That's Be'ita, and it's set time. And that is called the case. That's the end, the deadline. But if we deserve it, and like I said, we bring out our perfection, then Achishen, you can bring it earlier. Come Hayom, in Bekolo Tishmo. If we bring out our potential, and we bring out our perfection, and then we can bring Mashiach closer. That's Achishen. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell his children the deadline. When that date is that beyond which Mashiach won't tarry. That's the deadline for Mashiach. The case. He looks at the names of his children, and for some reason, it's taken away from him. So he figures there's something wrong. Something wrong with my children. He looks at their names, at their qualities, talents, abilities, capabilities. He sees, ein chet. Chet means chesaron. There's nothing missing. Potentially, they can reach perfection. They have the talents, abilities, and capabilities that can be perfect. All they have to do is bring them out. Ain cheit. And therefore, ain cakes. It'll never get to the cakes. Not to wait till the deadline. If they'll just bring out their potential, they'll be able to bring Mashiach before the cakes. So in the name of the Shvatim, there is no cakes. Because if they'll exercise what those names represent, we'll never get to the cakes. Mashiach will come way before the cakes. Therefore, the fact that there's no cakes in the names of the Shvatim is not negative, it's a very positive thing. In those names, there'll never be a cakes. It'll have to come early. It won't come at the deadline. So Yaakov Avinu said, instead of telling my children when the deadline for Mashiach is, I'll tell them something better. I'll tell them how they can bring it closer. How is that? I'll give them brachas. What's the greatest bracha you can give somebody? The greatest bracha is to tell them what their potential is, what their abilities and capabilities and talents are. A person can have tremendous talents, abilities, and capabilities. But if they don't know about it, they're not aware of it, it's wasted. It's a mission in Pirkei Avos. Chaviv ha'adam shenivra b'tzelem Elokim. People are precious, but they were created b'tzelem Elokim. Chiba yisera nodas lahem shenivra b'tzelem Elokim. It's extra precious, we were told. We could be created b'tzelem Elokim and not even know about it. Then we can't do anything. But to let somebody know what their potential is, what their qualities are, what their talents are, that's extra special. That's the biggest bracha you can give somebody. It also includes telling them what they're not, what they can't do. It's also a bracha. Example. Imagine you have a friend who has the worst singing voice you ever heard. When he opens his mouth, people run away in terror. It is like he sounds like you're dragging your nails on a chalkboard. That's how bad it is. Okay? And one day you see your friend go to the library and take out a stack of books on how to be a chazan. Wouldn't it be a bracha to go over to him and say, you know, I don't think this is for you. Don't waste your time reading these books that you're going to be a chazan, because the first time you get up you won't have a minion. Everybody's going to run away. Unless you plan to be a chazan in a home for the deaf, right, you're not going to be a good chazan. So, don't waste your time. Become an author. Become a speaker. It's something, not a chazan. Not for you. It's a bracha. Biggest bracha. Shouldn't waste your time on something that's not you. That was the bracha that Yaakov gave his children. Reuven, you could have been a melech. You could have been the kohen gadol. You could have been the bechor. But for whatever reason, you lost that. So don't waste your time on those things. That's not you. But you're still Reuven. Concentrate on being Reuven. It's a bracha. Shimon and Levi, you have a problem. You have anger. I'm going to help you control your anger so you can bring out your potential. That's a bracha. The other ones, you have the kochos and kishronos of this kind of animal, that kind of animal, all representative of what talents, abilities, capabilities they have. That was the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave his children, the bracha of self-knowledge, to know who you are, what you can achieve. Because you can have tremendous talents. If you don't know about it, you'll never do anything with it. And that is the marshal that Chazal gave, the stolen Shomer. The confidant of the king is dying, calls his children, he wants to tell them the secrets that the king told him. Now, the way we learned the marshal to begin with, he sees the king is standing there and he gets embarrassed. He doesn't want to reveal the secrets of the king in front of the king. He's embarrassed to do that. Now, that doesn't make any sense. If this guy's really the king's friend, behind the king's back he'll say what he's embarrassed to say in front of the king. That means the king doesn't want him to say these secrets, but behind his back he'll say them. That's a great friend. If I had friends like that. So what does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. That's not the pshat in the marsh. He wants to tell over things that he knows the king won't mind if he says. He's not embarrassed of the king, but he makes a cheshbon like this. I could tell my children these very interesting things that the king confided in me as his friend. And then they'll hear it from me secondhand. But the king's right here. I'll tell them something better. I'll tell them how they can become the friends of the king. And then the king will tell it to them firsthand. Isn't it better to hear it directly from the king than hear it from me? They can hear the same things I heard directly from the king, as long as they're careful of the honor of the king to become his friend, just like I became his friend. So instead of telling them the secrets, he tells them how they can access those secrets in a more personal way rather than hearing it secondhand from him. So too, Yaakov Avinu said, I can tell my kids when the Mashiach's going to come, when the cage is. I have something better to tell them. I'll tell them how they can bring it closer. That's better. Just like it's better to hear the secrets from the king himself than to hear it secondhand from somebody else. I'll tell them how they can access Mashiach faster, not have to wait to the cage, as long as they use and utilize and bring out their talents, abilities, and capabilities. Could be that's also what Chazal mean in two other midrashim. It says when the Shvatim came, and Yaakov in the beginning, Nela mimenu akeitz. So he thought it's because there's something wrong with his children. So he said, Shema yesh psul bochem, that your hearts are not united under the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Maybe that's why there's not going to be a cage. So they said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Yaakov answered, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. It's not because there's something wrong with you. Just the opposite. It's because something right with you. Because there's no hate in your names and your potential. Then there doesn't have to be a cage. That's why the cage was nailed. It's not the good thing to tell you. I'd rather tell you how to bring it closer. What does it mean? So Chazal say that, what if we have a dilemma? Should we say Baruch Shem Kavod or not? Yaakov Avinu said it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. So we say it low. Say it low. On Yom Kippur we can say it out loud. And then the Gemara gives another Moshe. A Bas Melech, Heiricha Tzike Kedera, she smelled something making in the kitchen and she wanted it very much. And to bring it to her openly wasn't so nice. So they brought it to her quietly. So the same thing. Baruch Shem Kavod is Tzike Kedera. It's something not nice if you do it, bring it publicly. So we say it low. What's wrong with Baruch Shem Kavod? Malchus Shalom Vo'ed. The truth is, there's a Nefesh HaChaim who speaks about it, whatever, you can look it up, but I'll tell you a different shot based on what we're seeing now. Yaakov Avinu thought that when Nela Mimenu Akeitz, it's because something was wrong with his children. So they declared, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that one day, Taka, there'll be a cage. And one day we will bring out our potential. Shema Yisrael, Rashi says, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Achshav, one day will be Hashem Echad, will be the God of the entire world. That's when Mashiach will come. Yaakov Avinu realized that it's not because there's something wrong with his children that he can't tell them the cage. The cage is not in their names, not because there's something wrong with them, just the opposite, because there's no hate. There's nothing missing. They can bring Mashiach faster. They don't have to wait for the cage. The cage will never come. Mashiach will come way before the deadline, way before the cage. That's the reason. So Yaakov Avinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's one day set aside for Mashiach to come. That's what Shema Yisrael represents. One day, there's a day set aside, Hashem Echad. Similar to something that Turi Evan says. The Tosus explains that the Gemara says, Yom Hashishi, Shishi B'Siva. That from Bria Sa'olam, the Rabbanu Shalom designated the 6th of Sivan as the day of Matan Torah. And if Klai Yisrael accept the Torah, fine. If not, the world goes back to Tohu Vavohu. Yom HaShishi. The whole world was conditional to Yom HaShishi, Shishi B'Sivan. Tosa say, as L'chara, that's only according to the Chachamim, that the Torah was given on Shishi B'Sivan. But Rabbi Yossi holds the Torah was given on Shvi B'Sivan. What does he do with this drasha? Says Tosa. Really, the Torah was supposed to be given on the 6th day of Sivan. Moshe Rabbeinu added a day and pushed it off to the 7th day. The Torah reflects what should have been without the intervention of human beings. But the Maisa, right, it changed to the 7th because people had Bechira and Moshe Rabbeinu decided that that Klal Yisrael needed another day. Similarly, the Turi Evan says, it says that, what's it called, that Mashiach really should come either Nisan or Tishrei. It means on Yontif, on the day of Pesach. The only thing is the Rabbanan made a gzeira of Tchumim, And if you hold Yesh Tchumi L'mala Mi'asor, Mashiach can't come then. So it was supposed to come, but L'maisa, because of Chazal, they have to push it off either the day before or the day after. Same thing over here. The Torah tells me the, without any intervention of human beings, there's a day set aside for the world to reach its perfection. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But Yaakov Avinu said, I see now, in the names of my children, they have the potential to bring it closer. There's not going to be a cage. They can bring it closer. The cage doesn't exist in their name. So he said, Baruch Hashem Kavod Malchus. So if you look at Malchus Hashem, that my Shvatim, that he create Malchus Hashem here, it's La'olam Vod, it could be any time. It's not at some day in the future. It could be any day, today, tomorrow. Le'olam Vod. So now what do we do? We say, Rabbanu Shalom, you designated a day when Mashiach will come. Or we say, you know what, we want it earlier. We want it faster. Right? We want Mashiach now. Nah, that's not so nice to say. But Yom Kippur you can say. Yom Kippur you can say, out loud, Baruch Hashem Kavod Malchus Olam Vod, we don't want to wait to the cage. We want it now. That's okay to say on Yom Kippur. Not okay to say the rest of the time. Chutz B'dik, to say, we want it now. As if we deserve it now. So we say Shema Yisrael Hashem, and we say Lo Baruch Shem Kavod. That's the same thing that Tzike Kedeva. It says Malachim eat B'Shalosh Shos. Right, that's when kings get up, and that's the way they have their breakfast. But the Bas Melech got up early. She was hungry. She wanted something. She smelled this thing making in the kitchen for the meal that's not going to be for Shalosh Shos. So she wanted it early. So to give it to her openly, earlier than the king eats, not nice. But not to give it to her, she's the basmela, so they brought it to her quietly. Same idea. We want that meal earlier than when the Rabbanu Shalom designated it. To ask it for openly, not nice. But to say it quietly, that Lamaisa, we'd like to bring Mashiach closer because of the bringing out our talents, abilities, and capabilities. Not on Yom Kippur, you have to say it low. On Yom Kippur, you can say it out loud. One last thing. So what is the bracha that we give our children? Simcha Elokim Kefrayim v'chimenashe. V'yosem es Efrayim v'chimenashe. What's that bracha? Why don't we give our children, they should be like Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov? Why like Efrayim v'chimenashe? Or at least like Ruvain and Shimon? Why Efrayim v'chimenashe? Well, the answer is, we, each and every one of us, has tremendous talents, abilities, and capabilities that we inherited from our avos. There's a Rashi in Parshas Vo'era, right away in the beginning. Pasuk says, Vo'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak, el Yaakov, el Shakai. Rashi says, Vo'era el ha'avos. Seems like a very superfluous Rashi. I mean, how stupid did he think we were that when we read the Pasuk, Vo'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak, el Yaakov, we forgot they're the avos. Oh, those are the avos. Yeah, I thought they're Stam. Yitzchak Schwartz, Avraham, yeah, those are the avos. I need Rashi to tell me that. Why does Rashi have to say Bo'eira el ha'avos? The Rabbanu Shem has a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu. Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. I had great people in this world. I told them things. They never saw the fulfillment. They never questioned me. And you, the first time I tell you something, you question me. You don't see the fulfillment right away. You right away question me. Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. It's a famous maisa with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha said, La'achar me'ev eshem shana, I'm not afraid if they ask me, how come you weren't like the Baal Shem Tov? I didn't have the potential, the Baal Shem Tov. How come you weren't like Moshe Rabbeinu? That wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. You weren't like the Rambam. You know what I'm afraid they're going to ask me? How come you weren't like Reb Zusha? How come you didn't develop your potential? That's what scares me. And it's true. You don't have to be like the Rambam. You don't have to be like the Baal Shem Tov or the Vilna Gaon. You just have to be like you. You have to bring out your potential. So if that's the case, what's the Rabbanu Shalom's taina, Moshe Rabbeinu? Oh, I had great people, the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and they never questioned me. So Moshe said, yeah, I know. I'm not them. I'm Moshe. I don't have that potential. They're greater than me. How can you have a taina on somebody because of what somebody else did? Somebody else is somebody else. That's why Rashi says, Vo'eiro el ha'avos. That's true if they were just stamp somebody else. But they were the avos. Avos miloshin avav avitolda. everything that Klal Yisrael has comes from them. And that's why Chazal say, Chayiv Adam Lomar Mosai Yagiu Maisai Lamaisai Avosai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Yeah, you may not be like the Rambam or this one or that one. But the Avos, they created the gene pool, spiritual, of Klal Yisrael. And each of us has the potential of the Avos in some way. So you can't have a Taina, well, I can't be like them. You have to, they're the Avos, they're in you. That's what it means, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. The Avos are lost. I know where they are, they're in the Mersamach Pela, that's where their bodies are. And the Shamas are in Gan Eden, that's lost. But the Rebbe said, they're lost in you. I can't find them in you. They should be there in you somewhere. Because the Avos, their milas and kishronos go on every generation in Klal Yisrael. How do you know that? How do you know that every generation, the gene pool that the Avos created exists in every year? I'll tell you how you know it. You don't know it because it existed in Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, because they grew up amongst the Avos in Eretz Israel, so they got that potential. But Ephraim and Manasseh didn't grow up amongst the Avos, and they didn't grow up in Eretz Israel, and they have that same qualities. How do I know? Because it says, V'yikari bohem shmi, v'shem avosai, Avraham v'yitzlam. They have the shame, they have the name, they have those qualities within them. And therefore, if it exists in Ephraim and Manasseh, there's no reason to think it doesn't exist in you. Because they had nothing going for them more than you have going for you. Elamai, it's part of the mitzias of a ben and bas Yisrael to have the koach of the Avos. So that's the bracha. Yisimcha Elokim kefraim v'chemenasheh. You have tremendous potential. That's what we tell our children. But by Yosem is Ephraim v'fnei Manasseh. Why? Because Yaakov saw that Ephraim, even though he was the younger one, he used more of his lesser potential than Manasseh brought out his greater potential. Manasseh had greater potential, he was a Bechor. Ephraim had lesser potential. But in the end, Ephraim realized more of his lesser potential than Manasseh realized of his greater potential. What do you see from there? The potential is not the Ikar. It's what you do with it. That's the problem. You should know you have tremendous potential, each and every one of you. You have tremendous talents, abilities, capabilities that are unique to you. You have the talents and abilities of the others. But the Ikar is not the potential. It's what you do with it. Ephraim, who brought out more of his lesser potential, is greater than Manasseh, who had greater potential, but didn't bring it out as much. That's the lesson. That's the bracha. So each and every one of you, you're a zoche to be in Eretz Yisrael for a year, maybe 2 years, and to be in a real Makom Torah with a very, very fine rebbeim, and they can help you bring out your potential. Each and every one of you is talented, has kishronos and milos, and the way to bring them out is through the Torah. Torah helps to bring out your personality. And the more you're an omel b'Torah, the more you learn Torah, the more you're able to bring out those qualities and use them the rest of your life, l'avodas Hashem. So take advantage of it. Recognize the bracha of who you are and what you are. And if you don't know, ask. Ask your rebbeim to tell you what they think you're capable of doing and what kind of talents and abilities and capabilities you have. And then work on bringing them out, because in that way you will redeem your potential and bring yourselves to Shleimus and Geula, and just like the little kid, you'll bring the whole world to that Shleimus and that to Geula, and then we'll be Zolchetaka to the Eila Shmos B'nai Yisrael. Then the schus of your names and your talents, abilities and capabilities will see the Sefer HaGeula brought to its Siyum, the Diaskol Tzedek in Eberville.
Amen.